Bibles, please, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And I want to look a few Sunday mornings, I don't know how many, but I want to look at our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. This morning, we'll be looking at knowing God. Knowing God. Any relationship begins with getting to know a person. Right now, if you were to take a book all about the life of Rebecca, Jacob would probably say, I want to read that book. And if you were to take a book and write all about the life of Elijah, Hannah would probably say, I want to read that book. Because they're in a, I want to get to know this person stage in order to eventually develop a relationship with them. And getting to know a person is not just facts. You know, favorite color, shoe size. You could know that about anybody and not have a relationship with the person. A relationship is knowing how they think, how they act and react, why they act and react the way that they act and react. It's getting down into knowing their heart. And any husband and wife, if you're going to have a relationship, that relationship is a continuation of growing together, a continuation. Look, people could get married. They could start out with a relationship and he could go to work every day and she could do her thing every day. And pretty soon they find out, we don't really know each other anymore because over time people change. Now, God never changes. So we have an advantage in that case. But we're changing. Our lives have ups and downs and go through different things. My burden is I don't want us to become a church that is a religion. I do these things and so I'm okay. I don't want us just to have a, this is the way it operates. Every single one of us needs to have a relationship with God Almighty. So we're going to take a few weeks and just ask the Lord to help us to realize I don't do this because it's the thing to do. I want to do what I do out of a relationship with God Almighty. I want to know Him. So the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, simply this, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God, and then the next word is created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. I want to look this morning at knowing God. Knowing God. And then we'll see how this develops over the weeks to come. Father, I need your help. Father, I want to know you. Sometimes, God, I feel like we can go through all of the movements, all of the motions of a Christian life and find out that we really aren't knowing you. God, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost today, that they would realize the first step in knowing you is getting saved. But God, for all of those that are saved, God, I pray that our life would be filled with a relationship with you, not a religion, not acts of service, not knowledge about who you are, but God, an active relationship where we're walking with you side by side through life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is a spirit. In John 4:24, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that is the understanding of God. God is truth. God is a spirit. If you're going to worship God, you have to have the right spirit in the thing, guided by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, of course, teaching us from the Word of God, and it has to be truth, and truth we find in the Word of God. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So as we look to God, and what I want to do in the message today, I want to give you just some things about God to help us to get to know who He is, a little bit about who He is. And I want you to look at it this morning, and I'm not going to go deep theological, all of those kind of things. My goal is not to bore you with big words and long pronunciations. My desire this morning is that you would just step back, that we would get a synopsis of who the God of the universe is, who the Creator is, what God is to us, and then finish out with how to have that relationship and beginning that relationship with such a mighty, wonderful God. Because when we take back and look at who God is, it's an amazing thing. To this day, I cannot comprehend why my wife would have married me. And I know many people are that way, and it can go both ways, but mostly I think it's the man thinking, why in the world would she have married me? And we look at and we're glad for our wife, we're glad for them, we look at them with, wow, she was far superior, far better than me. I'm glad that when I asked her, she said yes. Well, God is so much more than what we can even begin to grasp or fathom. He is so wonderful that we will spend an eternity getting to know Him. And it is not about God looking and saying, well, I'm glad I got you. It is about the privilege that we have of entering into a relationship with an almighty Spirit. Not a body, but a Spirit. But He is real in every single way. The Bible tells us that God is life. And any one of these things that we're going to point out today, we could go to dozens of verses in the Scripture. I want to just literally take a verse per point and look at it and just get a little bit of a grasp of our great God today. And I hope that it will excite you, just like Jacob would be excited about getting to know Rebecca, or Hannah about Elijah, or you when you got to know your spouse way back when. God is life. Turn to Acts chapter 14 and verse 15. Acts chapter 14 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul preaching, and he makes this statement because people had come out and they actually were bowing down before Paul and Barnabas because they had heard them speak and they were so impressed. And verse 14 and 15, it says, and when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Here's a group of people, and they're bowing down to planetary bodies, and they're bowing down to false gods. And here they're ready to bow down to Paul and Barnabas. And he says, look, this is vanity. These false gods are not even living. They're not even real. They can do nothing for you. Paul and Barnabas, we're just sinful men just like you are. We can't do anything for you other than to point you to the living God. We're going to die just like you're going to die. We can't give you life because we don't have life outside of God ourselves. And he shifts them and he says, look, you need to believe and put your trust in the living God, the one from whom all life exists. The Creator of life. God is life, and God is eternal life. And when the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, it's because when you get into the Lord Jesus Christ, when he gives you life, he is giving you of himself. He is life. Isn't it great to have a living God? Aren't you glad you aren't praying to a statue? Aren't you glad that you don't have a corner in your house where there's a statue and you bring rice and put in front of the statue and the rice is still there the next day and you've got to change it out because he doesn't really eat it? We have a living God. a God that's a spirit. He's not bound to a body where he can only be in one place at one time. God is an awesome God. As far as personality goes, God has personal pronouns. Throughout the Bible, you see thee, thou, he, him. Those are pronouns of God. They're personal pronouns because God has personality. He's not a force. It's not something, well, if I can channel this force, it'll accomplish things in my life. That's not God. God is a spirit, but God has all the personal traits. And remember this, that man was made in the image of God. And so when you look at personality traits of God, God has traits of anger, grief, jealousy, love, hatred, compassion. If you look through the Bible and you read through about God, you will find out that God carries many of the same character traits that are built into our personality, only lacking completely any of the sinful ones. See, when we're angry, we could lose our temper. That would be sin. When God's angry, he never loses control. Can you imagine if the creator of the universe could lose control? You ever see a baby throw a tantrum? Can you imagine if God could lose control and throw a tantrum like that? But God never can. Because every characteristic of God Almighty is perfect. Every personality trait, when God is jealous, he's a jealous God. Just like it's right for a man to be jealous of his wife, he doesn't want her to be with any other man. He doesn't want other men giving her the attention that she should be getting from him. And that would be a correct and right character trait of jealousy. But man can also take jealousy and it could be a negative trait. God's personality traits are all absolutely perfect, but he's every bit person. You can talk to him. You can understand through the Word of God, through the book that describes to us God Almighty, you can understand who he is. You can know what makes him angry. You can know the things that he loves, the things that he cares about. You can know when he's going to get angry. You can know what pleases him. You can know God. God's a spirit, but God has personal character traits. God is a Trinity. Turn with me to Genesis 1:26 and John 1:1-3. Genesis 1:26, John chapter 1, verses 1-3. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image. You notice what's going on here. And it's interesting, and I don't do a lot of the Hebrew and Greek things. I'm not trying to impress you with knowledge. You can look in the same dictionary I can, okay? But the word God is Elohim, which is a plurality. And when God said, let us, he's saying, we're a plurality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is one God, but he exists in three parts. Each one of those parts plays a unique role. In the beginning, God, three parts, made heaven and earth. If you look at John chapter 1 and verse 1-3, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice it's capitalized. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So you look at that and say, well, who is the Word? Verse 14 gives us the answer. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, Jesus is the Word. And you know, in creation, God created, but the Bible says not anything was created without Jesus. You read the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, you see the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the deep. The parts of the Trinity, God worked as a Trinity in creation. He works as a Trinity in our salvation. God the Father sent and came up with the plan, sent the Son. Jesus, the Word, came down, took upon Him human form, died on the cross, and then the Holy Spirit of God convicts us that that's actually true and that Jesus did die, was buried, and rose from the dead, and He convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and your salvation is dependent upon all three parts of the whole, of God, the Trinity. In 1 John 5, 7, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost." And it says, "These three are one." So we have a God that's living, who is in the form of the Trinity. And we can understand every part of the Trinity. I'm not going to preach an entire message on it, but you know the Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." We can know Jesus, we can know God the Father, we can know the Holy Spirit of God. God is all-powerful. He has power over everything He wants to have power over. I like to put it like that because God sometimes chooses not to do something. God sometimes chooses not to exercise the power that He could have. Could God wipe sin out right now? Sure He could. He has that power. But He allows man a free choice because He wants man to know Him. He doesn't want us to come to Him because we're forced to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him because we get to know Him and we want to know Him and we want to be reconciled to Him. But God is all-powerful. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. The Bible says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." You know, there's nothing too hard for God. Isn't that something? When you call out to God, you're calling out to the one that in 6 days created heaven and earth. In 6 days, He put the sun and moon in the sky. That was just one of the six. Made the animals, made the plants, all of this creation, the beauty of this earth, the glory of heaven, the stars in the sky, the firmament. It's all there and God made it. God's, I mean, look at that power. Guess what? He made it out of nothing. You talk about incredible. Where did nothing come from? Well, God. See, we can't hardly comprehend that because you can't make something out of nothing. Some of you are very talented. You can make things, but you have to have the materials. God can make out of nothing. God knows everything He wants to know. Now, there are some indications in the Bible, different places where God sent an angel and said, "Hey, would you go down there and check that out? I've heard the cryings of Sodom and Gomorrah. Is it really as wicked?" It's not like God sits up there and absorbs and looks into the wickedness of the earth and just lets that wickedness flow into Himself all the time. He steps back. He's in complete control. He says, "Go check that out." Nineveh talks about the same way. But you know what? God can know anything He wants to know. He knoweth my down sitting, my uprising. He knoweth the thoughts before they come out of my mouth. God's an awesome God. 1 John 3:20 says this, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." You know, God knows even better than our own heart knows. Sometimes we know our children better than they know themselves. Sometimes our children know us better than we know ourselves. Sometimes our wives know us better than we know ourselves, and vice versa. God knows everything about every one of us. You don't have to try to hide anything because you can't. And you know what? God still loves us. Isn't that incredible? God is anywhere He wants to be. He's a spirit. There's no containing Him. There's no capacity to where you can't just bottle Him up somewhere. You don't have to be in a church building to pray. Now, I want to clarify something. God does tell us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So this idea, since God is everywhere, I can go out in the woods and skip church. You can. You'll be disobeying Him. But you can. God is not limited to a church. God's not limited to a building. A person can get saved anywhere. There may be someone listening by radio or live stream today, and you're lost, and God wants to know you. And you can get saved. But God is anywhere He wants to be. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 23 and 24. Says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Because God is not limited to a body. I'm glad that Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, where He sits on the right hand of the throne of God. And God has given us a job to do to represent the church as referred to as the body of Christ, or to be that body for Ottumwa, Iowa, to represent Jesus in Ottumwa, Iowa. But when Jesus was in His body, He was in one place at one time. God's not limited to that. You can talk it to Him at your house tomorrow morning, and the people in China can talk to Him at their house tomorrow morning, and the people in Argentina can talk to Him at their house tomorrow morning, and every one of them, God is able to be there for them and be there for them, be there for them, because God is a spirit. He's not bound. He's not limited to a body. God can be anywhere He wants to be at any time He wants to be there. There's one place where God stands and says, will you let me come into your life? Will you let me come into your heart? Though God knows every thought in your head, God says, I will not indwell you. I will not take over you unless you give me the invitation. That is God saying He can be anywhere He wants to be, but He steps back and says, I give you permission to accept or reject, to open the door or close the door to my call to you. What a God we have. God does not change. Since you've been married, has your husband changed? Sure He has. Since you've been married, has your wife changed? Mm-hmm. As your children grow, do they change? As your children grow, do you change? Sometimes we change for the good. Sometimes we change for the bad. Right? But think about this. James 1:17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Look at this verse. Let it absorb into your heart. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do you know God has attributes, and those attributes don't change? We can do things, and you say, well, depending on the variables, I'll be able to accomplish this task. Some variables in us accomplishing something may be the weather. It may be our own ability. It may be whether we got injured or not as we were attempting to do something. With us, there are so many variables. You make a promise. You know how many variables are attached to you making a promise that you fully intend to keep? But with God, there is no variableness. Anything God says, He can and will accomplish. God does not change. His holiness has not changed. God is as holy all the way back in the Old Testament, and God will be holy into eternity future, and His holiness does not change. It's one of His attributes. It is the attribute of God that makes every other attribute work perfectly. It is the attribute, you know, man's justice is sometimes so far from justice, isn't it? You look at a court decision and you can step back and how do you call that justice? But God's justice is completely controlled by His holiness. God never makes a mistake. Every attribute of God Almighty is a wonderful attribute. Holiness, righteousness, justice, wrath, love, mercy, grace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness. All of these are attributes of God, and every one of them, He is perfect in His attributes. What a wonderful God we have. God's mercy is so abundant, and yet it's perfectly balanced with His justice and His wrath. Every attribute working together to accomplish absolute perfection. People sometimes grasp on, they hold on to one attribute, God is love, and they want to deny the fact that God has wrath. Well, God would never send anyone to hell. Well, God is just. Hell is what we deserve. Heaven is what we don't deserve. And the reason is not because of God, but it's because of our own sin. If I don't go to hell, it is simply because of the mercy of God, but it is because God sent His Son to pay the price for my sin. Because God could not let me off the hook without the price being paid, because God is just. All of these attributes work together. Boy, I know this is, it's short, it's a synopsis. Don't get too excited, we're not done yet. But would you look today and just say, you know what? 2025, I want to know God more. I want to get to know God more. I have a relationship with God. If you're His child, you have a relationship with Him. But many fathers and children don't really have much of a relationship. They don't understand each other sometimes. But God, He wants to have a relationship. And some of us may look and say, sometimes I say, I am not the greatest at relationships. Personalities are different. Variables are there. There's no variable with God. You can know God. You can know Him. What a great God to know and have a relationship with. You know what the problem is? The problem is a sin problem. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. This great God, He's there. And God wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him. The problem is our sin. Do you know that sin can mess up a marriage relationship? And a husband and wife can have a beautiful, beautiful marriage, and the wife or the husband goes out and they cheat on them. What does that do to the relationship? It crushes it. Why? Because of sin. Sin destroys relationships, and sin destroys the relationship that man could have with God, and God wants that relationship. Notice verse 1 through 4, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." See, God is a holy God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, it is because your sin is standing between you and God. If you're headed to hell this morning, it is because your sin is standing between you and God. And God is out there, and God wants to know you, and God invites you to know Him. But the problem is a sin problem. The Bible goes on to say, "For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Isn't that the description of man? Boy, we are wicked. We are born with iniquity coming out of us. And as we get older, we make choices, and sometimes we make choices to lie and to cheat and to defile and to do what's wrong. And our thoughts are wrong. And just, we are wicked people, full of sin, and we've sinned against a God that wants to know us and wants to have a relationship with us. And God looks at us in that sinful state, and His holiness will not allow Him to enter into a relationship with us. And so God Almighty looked at us in that condition, and God said, "Look, I'm going to do something about this because I want to have a relationship with you." Why would God want to have a relationship with us? He loves us. Notice Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. God looking us in our sinful state when we have no strength to get out of it, no strength, there is no religion that could get us out of our sinful state. There is nothing we could do to make us so that we're no longer sinners. And God says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 7 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So God looks at us in all of His holiness, and He says, "I'm separated from man, not because of anything God did, but because of our sin." And God looks and God says, "I am going to rectify this situation. Their sin must be judged. Currently, the judgment for that sin is hell. But I'm going to send my Son, Jesus Christ. He's going to go down there. He's going to become a man. And He is going to live a sinless life. And then instead of having to punish every man individually for their sin, I will punish Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for the sin of all mankind." And Jesus came down and fulfilled His part and lived a perfect life and went to the cross. And on that cross, He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Why? Because the sin of man was on Jesus. And God, for the first time in all of eternity, is looking at His Son, and He has to turn His back on Him. And He turns His back on Him because our sin separated between Jesus and God. Our sin. And so God says, "You know what? I'm not waiting for you to do something. I'm not waiting for you to come toward me. I will do everything in my power to rectify your sin. I'll pay for your sin. I want to reconcile," 2 Corinthians 5, "I want to reconcile you to me." See, man standing over here without strength, nothing man could do could reconcile us to God. I can't change the fact that I'm a sinner. I cannot undo any sin that I've ever done. And so God says this, 5:14 through 21, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they should live, which live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, God is an awesome God. And God says, "I want a relationship with you. I want you to know me. I don't want you going out trying to do acts of service just to try to gain my favor." He says, "I want to know you. I want you to be reconciled to me. I want us to be together again. I want to put away your sin for you through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to know you." And then once you know God, he says, "Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Last week, we had some tracts down here. There are 12 paper clips that made it back into the basket. That means 60 tracts, 12 groups of 5 tracts were given out this week with the intention of, hey, would you be reconciled to God? Would you be reconciled to God? See, Daewoo gave his testimony. He grew up in a Christian home going to church, but he wasn't reconciled to God. He lived a life of sin, and finally he realized, I need a relationship with God. And he got saved, and he trusted Jesus Christ for himself. And he got saved. He has a relationship with God. We can know him. This morning I ask you this question. Do you know God? Are you saved? That's the beginning of a relationship. If you're saved, God became your father. You became his son. Can you imagine all of that about Almighty God, and he's my father? Wow. And sometimes we walk through life, and we live without talking to our Father, without asking our Father for help, without looking for our Father's will, without seeking what pleases our Father, without caring about what our Father cares about. And I'm praying, I want God's help for our church. Everyone to know God and have a relationship with God Almighty on a day-by-day basis, where we're walking with Him and talking with Him, and knowing He is our God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to ask a couple questions. Is there anyone here that says, I do not yet have a relationship with God? I'm not saved. If I were to die, I'd go to hell. But I want you to pray for me, because I need to be saved. Anybody? Okay, I don't see any hands right now. So let me ask you this. When you got saved, you entered into a relationship with God. How is your relationship today? Allow God to search your heart and show you what you need in that relationship. We're going to have an invitation, an opportunity for you to come and talk to God. Maybe some of you, you don't need to get re-saved. Nobody does. You get saved, you're saved. You're a son of God, you're a son of God. But maybe some of you need to renew your fellowship and get back into that walk with God that you ought to have. Father, we ask that you would help us, God, to know you and the power of your might and the resurrection. God, I pray you'd help us through your word just to have a wonderful working relationship with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, do you have something to come and pray about this morning? How's your relationship with God? You may know some thoughts about God. You may know some characteristics. How's your relationship? God, that our lives will be conformed to His image. See, we want to be changed from the inside out, not the outside in. Father, we thank you for your word, and God, we thank you that you are, Lord, the words don't describe it, awesome, wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. God, in our small human brains, to put an adequate description is just not able. And you gave us your word so that we could grasp it. God, help us to know you. God, help us to walk with you. God, help me over the next few Sunday mornings. God, to help our body of believers, God, all of us, we would walk with you in a renewed way. In this brand new year that you've given us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.